The one thing I also wanted to ask you is when the two of us talk, we both sense that we're genuine.
Yes.
So there is no, how can I say this best? You know, there's no, there, I, you know, whatever you say to me, I have no reason not to believe it.
Yes.
But I remember when I did this for the first time, or when I came across it, what happened was in 2002, I'm a musician, so I had a live gig in Dublin. And after the concert, friends of mine gave me a voucher to go to an angel workshop to do some angelic healing and some meditation. And I said, well, you know, I go along. And so when I arrived there finally, they were all wearing feather boas and they all looked like, you know, out of this world, really. And I was like, what's going on here? Even though, you know, I'm quite you know, a colorful person myself. I was like, you know, what's going on here? And then when we did the first meditation where the aim was to invite an angel in, at first I didn't get the chance because my deceased dog and the lion made themselves known.
Oh.
And I was like, wow. And it was obviously knocked before a loop. I was like, this is not happening, you know. So it really shook me to the core, really, because I felt really honored and I knew it was real. But when they all said, yeah, I saw this angel and this angel, I said, like, maybe I do that wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Mine were four-legged angels.
So basically, the facilitator, she had no notion. She knew I was talking or communicating with power animals, but she had to leave it at that because it was an angel workshop. She really didn't know that much about it.
Yeah.
You know, but at least she was open enough to say it.
Yeah,
You know?
yeah.
So anyway, in the as the day unfolded, I managed to get to all my angels, which was also really good. It was
Yeah,
very
yeah.
nice. But I really had the feeling that this is my path. I just knew when my dog was there and stuff. I just felt this is exactly what I'm supposed to do, even though I don't really necessarily believe we're supposed to do something. It's all about accumulation of experiences, you know. But
Yes, yeah. Is
I
that
knew this is
yes?
something I could not only pull off, but probably excel at.
Yes.
And but I also knew, you know, living in Ireland, where there's still a very sort of farming background, and people, well, there are people obviously that are very spiritual, but the majority of people wouldn't have me in a school or wouldn't have me in a library necessarily, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm still sort of classified as a psychic, as
Yeah.
such. Even though there's nothing wrong with it, I still like to see myself as a psychologist. Because communicating with an animal is not that odd. It's just that they don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole psychic thing always puts you into a corner, into a niche, you know, where I have to put my black nail polish on.
Yeah. Then get out the
have to look
bottom.
like The Cure or something.
Yeah, I don't prefer using the word psychic for any of what I do,
Yeah.
because of the associations with it. And for one, I don't really believe in trying to predict the future myself,
You can't, yeah.
as someone who works with all sorts of tools to help understand humanity and animals. Yeah, it's too confining. I
And
do terror
also,
readings.
I think, you know, the reason why, I mean, we have this free will idea.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's what I always tell my clients is that the reason why I won't describe myself as a psychic, even though I'm say doing a tarot reading for you right now, is because of free will and things can so easily change, and I could just be wrong, and then I've set you up for this horrible or positive situation, and I'm wrong, you know.
Yeah.
I like to discuss likelihoods. But yeah, with animal communication, that's not even a. I mean, I guess there's a level. I mean, it is. What is it? Suddenly my mind is going blank. When you communicate with your mind, there is this level of what is it? It's not telekinesis, but
Well, to be honest, I think that's exactly what it is, because telekinesis actually means silent language.
oh, does
So,
it
sort of telepathy means
mean
silent language. All the
telepathy?
rest is what Hollywood and people have put into the word,
Yeah.
and that's exactly what. Well, that's I think that's exactly what it is. It's just that obviously the word has a different meaning. In the same way that I absolutely do believe that both you and I are psychic, I
Yeah.
also do believe that all my pets are psychic.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So.
But the very term it has become an entertainment thing, and even by law, if I do readings, I have to say they're for entertainment reasons or purposes. You know,
Yeah. Yeah.
even obviously,
That's
you know, what
awesome.
I do these days, I have people sign consent forms.
Well, it's anything that can't that they can't. people can't see, touch, you know, feel, hear, taste, whatever, anything that's, like you said, invisible.
Yeah, but you know, that's exactly the thing. Like, you know, you ask somebody, you know, do you remember your first kiss? You know? And they all say, yeah, it was rubbish. Or they all say, yeah, it was great. You know? Yeah. Well, how do you explain that you know, if we were together and I would say I love you, you would know whether or not I'm joking.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I say this to people, like, you know, when people say that, you know, we all know how a broken heart feels.
Yeah.
And you cannot see it. And your heart is actually not broken physically.
Yeah, and you don't call that psychic.
Yeah, exactly. You don't call that psychic. It's just, you know, bad timing and fate.
Yeah. Seriously.
So that's what I mean, you know, when people use these words and you know, and I noticed this when I started my show. In the beginning was all very straightforward. You would have a reptile expert in, and you would have a vet in and stuff. And then I started talking about metaphysics and the universe and the web of life. And automatically you had people saying, hey, listen, I saw this is an animal rights show. I said, yeah, it's an animal rights / world conservation show, and unless we know and find our place in it, we're going to mess it up even more.
Yeah.
Because we're connected. But it's a strange concept, and I think that's one of the things that you probably experience, is that, that's at least what I experience when you communicate to that dog, is like, you know, you just told the owner something that the animal could not convey to him. You know, at a given point in time. So you have these different sections of communication, because otherwise the animal would sit with them on the table and just talk. So when you meet people that say, for instance, to you, well, I'm quite open to it. How do I do it? My first thing that I always say is, before you can communicate, you have to learn to listen. That's really important, I find, with animals. You know, have to sense them, feel them. But what other advice would you give to someone that says, I'm open enough, I would like to give it a go?
I would, what I would say to people who are interested, what I do say when I encounter someone who's interested, is I definitely advise them to kind of go into a basic meditation to quiet their own mind down.
Definitely.
Being open is the biggest thing. And to, you know, approach an animal, say approach your pet, and not dismiss what you hear. Like, just try to go with what you hear and believe it, and believe that it's possible. So to quiet down your fears, to get into a mental space where you are not going to be editing or correcting every bit of communication that happens, and to keep at it for a little bit. Sometimes the animal may or may not be expecting this. So sometimes animals, I have found, can be kind of shy sometimes if they don't. It depends on the environment at the time.
Oh, definitely. Especially when you go to places where I go to, where they are in distress. It's like, you know, if you would be in pain and I would like to talk to you about your well-being, you would say to me, F off, you know?
I'm not well.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that. In the conversation, and it also, it's as much a learning curve for them, just as you encounter with the pigeon, as it is for you. But I think the meditation is really good advice, because it is, you know, you can't just go off and do things.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is obviously to separate the physical world from the spiritual one.
Yes.
You know,
and to really work on and to kind of condition yourself internally. Not to immediately write off what you hear.
Yeah.
Like, you just, there's no place for that. You just have to accept all of the words that you hear. And then I try to afterwards go back and look at maybe what may not have been communicated by the animal and what may have been what they were actually saying. If something stands out as not consistent, then I'll say, well, maybe that was my own thinking or my own thoughts that infiltrated the conversation. But definitely don't do that at the time. Just accept and let in whatever you can. Be very welcoming and friendly, and like you said, listen with the viewpoint of I'm not going to assume that you couldn't possibly know anything. You know, listen with a non-judgmental ear. Listen with the intent to learn. They love encountering a human being who is interested in learning the wisdom that they've got stored up, that they've been sitting there able to offer their entire life but have been completely dismissed. dismissed of. So if you present to them kind of a humble countenance in your assumptions with them, I find that they become so grateful and so much more animated. Like, I wouldn't go in there and try to, like, assert control or dominance. It isn't about that. It's about trying to learn, giving them the chance to talk for once.
Yeah, absolutely.
I try to not do as much of the talking when I'm talking with or having a conversation with an animal because, you know, in the rest of the world, in the rest of my interactions with them, I'm the one doing all the talking and they never get to speak. If they do speak in barks or grunts or peeps or whatever, you know, I normally can't understand it. So when they do are given the microphone, I very much try to let them have the floor and just listen to as much as I can and not edit. But yeah, I would really recommend too, like, especially as you're starting out, a quiet setting, one with not a lot of distractions for you or
absolutely.
The animal.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because I'll do a lot of communication on the street just as I'm walking up and down. I'll see animals, and that I can only do for a few minutes because it's too loud, it's too distracting. Usually the animal is very distracted.
Yeah, especially because, you know, I mean, the walk is the bonding time. For most dogs, and it's part of that pack behavior. So even though you mean well, you're actually interrupting a bonding session, and they're not having it.
That would make sense.
You know, they're not having it. So that's nothing against you. That's just something. There's something else planned for that walk, and we're only doing one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So you know, call me. Got my number. This kind of way. You know.
Yeah.
That's why I usually set it up. In a way that when I see an animal and you know, I sense, okay, well, there is something that maybe could be cleared for the animal or for the owner. I always ask first, you know, get in touch with their power animals or their spiritual guides to see, is it my place?
Yes.
Because what I find obviously extremely frustrating or can be frustrating until you come to a point where you incorporate it in your daily life is... working on animals that you can ultimately not save because the owner couldn't give two shits about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not open to anything you say, and the animal can't get out of there because there is no law that would help you remove them. So there are these situations where your logic will tell you, I always come back to you and see if I can give you the love that this person denies you, and it's not your place. Because it's a learning curve very often of that owner to learn that. So the animal is there to sort of give that person the chance.
Do you feel that they're consenting to being in that position?
No, it's not a consent. It's more like there's a learning curve and I'm here. So it's not a consent. To a certain extent, it can be seen as such. It starts with, and I'm not talking about physical abuse. It's about when they try to connect to that person, to let go of all pretense. And you would come in and say, like, you know, this guy is actually roughing you up because he's such an idiot. He's doing this with all the family. You know?
Yeah.
So the animal comes in and says, look, you know, I always give, the only thing I give him back is love. And you can't fight it for long. You know, because they usually have to get angry at something. And they get angry at the dog because they're angry at the world. So the dog keeps at it. That's why that's why you have them always coming up to them, even when you think, like, you know, every normal person in their right mind would not go near this guy. That's why it is so difficult, because a lot of people keep abusing their dogs because they're so forgiving.
Yeah.
And I personally think there should be laws that prevent that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yes.
But what I'm saying is that when you communicate, more often than not, this animal will tell you that there's a learning curve here and they have consented to give this person the opportunity to learn that so I cannot interfere.
Oh, I see.
And
yeah.
It's a very hard concept because usually, I would usually love to go there and say, look, I'm just taking the dog off you, you know. Fight me if you must, but I'm not having it.
An example that I have that's right in line with what you're saying is not too far from me, there is this little dog, a little Chihuahua mix, who is living with a homeless person on the streets. And this little dog is tethered to a pole, like 24 hours a day, with a leash that is like 2 feet long at most.
Yeah, okay.
And I never see that animal ever able to have any more freedom than that, you know, that birth of 2 feet. And they look like they've been through a lot. The animal does. Looks very roughed up. The food that I see given to them looks very, you know, shoddy.
Yeah, yeah.
The homeless person themselves, you know, looks like they're having a tough time in life. And I've asked that dog on numerous occasions, would you like me to extract you from this situation and place you with an animal rescue group I know about that could then place you with a human being that has more means to be able to offer you a more normal life and a more stable life. And every time I ask that dog, he's offended.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
He does not want to be taken from that environment. No, you want to separate me from my best friend? Is that what you're saying? Why would you do that to me?
See, this is where the shamanism comes in, because usually you would go there and see them both as healed, you know, see them both in you know, from your mind, you just see them both as healed.
Okay.
And the question is just, you know, this is how I see it from my point of view, but is there anything I can do for the two of you? Because the dog is still a pack animal.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. That's what I mean. You know, when that's the same thing when you lose someone, someone is passed over, and I often offer to ask a power animal to come forward to fill that void. Let's just say you're in an abusive relationship and you get abused and your whole family tells you for 10 years, get out of it. He's no good.
Yeah.
And after 10 years, you finally make that decision. You will still miss him.
Yeah.
It's a condition that you have. You will still miss him
because
there's a void. You know, that's the same thing when people stop smoking, they start eating.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be so easy. So, that's why it's so important to you know, understand that, you know, only when you see people as healed, there's no soul parts missing, then you bring that communication to another level.
Well, I like that. I like that notion of seeing them as already healed and asking them if there's anything else I can offer you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the work that I do in animal and dog rescue, you know, the perspective is completely different. And these are people that are not shamans, not animal communicators.
Yeah, they do what needs to be done, and it's all good, but you can go further, so it would always be difficult for you.
Yeah, the impetus would be to just take the animal. I mean, not steal him.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Tell the guy, look, I'll give you $50 or whatever I think I can place this animal in a better home. Some people may even would steal the animal. I don't know.
Yeah. But and sometimes, you know, to be honest, like, and sometimes that would be the way to go.
Yeah, depending.
Depending on the situation, because you see, that's the thing. In our minds, and that's, I think, the perfect way of thinking of it, nobody should live like this. Yet we have created this world where we, in the 21st century, still have homelessness in every country on the globe.
Oh, yeah.
And where people still say, look, you know, if I have nothing to eat, I can eat a cow on a burger for a euro or a pound or a dollar, you know? So this whole disconnection thing is the problem. And the problem that people then have with animal rights people, and the two of us, we are clearly animal rights people, is that they think we put ourselves above them because we overcare about an animal, which is not true. It's just there's this big disconnect, because what often happens with animal people, they rescue the dog and put him into a better place, and the guy is still homeless tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he is the perpetrator, which he clearly is. You know, but the concept obviously is, what can we do for the two of them?
Oh, yeah. I actually work a lot with homeless also. And believe me, my concern is probably more so than others I see with homeless anyway, about, you know, how is he going to feel? How's that guy going to feel? You know, if I come up and try to make a strong argument for, like, taking his dog from him.
Yeah.
That guy no doubt feels that little dog is his best friend also. You know, I'm sure that animal is using that phraseology because that's the term he hears his human make.
Yeah, absolutely.
Use for him. So, you know, that reflects the way his human views their relationship also. And though it definitely can be argued that he's not getting the best life there with his human on the streets.
Oh, absolutely.
There is a fierce loyalty that the animals offer.
And obviously, you know, that, but that's the societal issue that we would, you know, if we would just make sure that everybody is cared for, then these problems would not exist.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, and that's why, because it's on a global basis, there is no solution, no immediate solution. You know,
it requires attacking the situation at a much deeper preventive level than anyone's.
And this is where the energy comes in. Because the minute, and that's what I would say to people that still are crying about these situations, it's the right thing to do. As long as you care, you may not be able to change it, but your energy is one of care and love and trying to help, and that's the energy that we all need.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously that's one of the things that you have when people when people's pets die, that they say, you know, look, get over it. It's just a pet. If you could just go back to this, and that's why I like, you know, when I read your posts there, where you even say to people, look, if you have questions, just email me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which I have completely stopped because I got inundated with things and people do not listen.
Yeah.
They ask you questions, you give them proper advice. Sometimes, you know, it takes me a long time to write it all out, so it's clear, and then they completely dismiss it because it would mean inconvenience to them.
But
it's one of the reasons why I approach you to the interview, because obviously there are loads of people out there that can be called psychics and that do readings and do animal communication. But this is what I mean. This is the energy. So that's another advice for the people. You know, trust the energy you're feeling. If you feel comfortable around someone, there might be a reason.
Yeah. And the same with animals, too. I mean, animals can have different energies that...
Absolutely.
That can be welcoming or not welcoming. In general, I find... I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with all animal energy, but you're talking about how you treat traumatized animals. You know, it really is true. If an animal is really hurting in one way or another, they can, in their own way, in essence, turn around and tell you, F off right now. I can't handle it, you know.
Exactly.
So you can pay attention to that energy, too, in terms of whether or not that's an animal you want to communicate with. I love what you were saying about the interrupting the pack time when they're on their walks.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't studied mammal behavior like you do, and what you're saying makes perfect sense. I bet that really is what it is.
Mm.
Because I was able to pick that up, I don't really approach too many dogs that look like they're really into their walk on the street. I mostly am talking to a lot of pigeons and birds and bugs.
Yeah.
Because I was able to sense with the dogs, well, they don't seem to be too into it when they're in this sit.
That's why canines are different to cats. I think one of the reasons why we love cats is because they decide, you know, when they want to come to you.
Yes.
I have to let you go now.
Okay.
You know, that was brilliant. It was so long overdue because
I think we have met this month ago.
Yeah, and I'm on my way to sort of moving to the UK. So once I have done this interview and the next one, the internet is off.
Only probably
a week or two to get that all sorted. That's why I found it was so important to get you and say, look, let's get this on the road. You know.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! How exciting!
All good. All brilliant.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much, and I'm glad you go to and continue what you do, because it's incredibly important. I find that more and more people understand that when you communicate to an animal, you give it your full attention. You do not see it as a needy little thing or something that is just around because you haven't taken all the habitat yet. You know, it is really a sentient being, and that's the way how you approach it.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that wild time is about, is to obviously stop that disconnect. And you're part of the people that stop the disconnect. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Thomas, for having me. This is wonderful.
Brilliant.
And really educational.
And I'm sure we talk soon, you know, when I'm back online.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, good luck with the move.
Yeah, thanks. It's very stressful, but one way or the other, we will manage.